listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me for the first time Dr. Yuri Maltsev. He is an Austrian school economist, historian from Tartistan. He earned, that's in the former Soviet Union, Russia, I suppose. I'll double check that. He earned his BA and MA degrees from Moscow State University and a PhD in labor economics. That he was a member of the senior Soviet economics team that worked on President Gorbachev's reforms package at Perestroika. He is currently professor of economics at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's a small private school. And he has appeared on various major networks like CNN, PBS, Fox, CBC, Financial News Network, etc., across America and Canada and European television as well. He is the editor of a number of books, Rec Room for Marx, and he was co-author of The Tea Party and The American Counter-Revolution, and then also another book called The Tea Party Explained in 2013. He is a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, which we know well on this show, having had Jeff Deist, the president of the Mises Institute, on this show in the past. Yuri, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's really good to have you. You know, just such an interesting background. We don't have that many people, not that many people I know, that were former economists in the Soviet Union who have turned into free market advocates, but you certainly have. Can you summarize the economic views that you were taught to believe through the Soviet system?
Yes, you're right. I have a pretty bizarre background. I was raised in the Soviet Union and royally brainwashed there. And I went to the Moscow State University, which is the best university, which was the best and still is the best university in Russia today. And what economics, that was Marxist economics. So that was not economics. It was just a bunch of slogans. And what kind of slogans? That would be the same slogans as the left is promoting today in the United States. Slogans for, you know, social justice, of class war, class hatred. That's what we were taught.
So you're seeing, you left the Soviet Union to come to a country that was relatively free, and you're seeing a regression or a move in the direction of where you came from.
Exactly, yes, exactly, because I defected to the United States in 1989. And at that time, it wasn't kind of a free market paradise at that time either, but the country which was way more free than it is today. And now I would say that our freedoms are going down the drain, and I am too old to defect again.
Yeah, I don't know where you would defect to. That would be the question in my mind. is there any place on earth that suggests that we should be free? I mean, if you go to the basis of our, I said to someone just recently, it seems as though we have an irreconcilable difference in the philosophy of government. One holds that the individual is sovereign, and the other holds that the government is sovereign, and the individual is a slave of the state. Unless you can come to grips with that basic difference, I don't know how, and I don't think most Americans have thought about it much in recent years, because I don't think they're being taught in their schools about why we separated from the King of England. So, but do you see that very basic philosophy of government? And do you think that's... Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Of course, Jade, because that's... You look at the Tea Party, Boston Tea Party of 1772, and people revolted against the tax on tea, 12%, and no other taxes. Yes, look what happened to us right now. It's that's one thing. Another thing is that that even since I came to the United States, I mean, there is a mass assault on freedom and personal liberties in the United States. And this pandemic, it created a havoc as well. I think was somebody said that to greatly expand the power of government and to curtail the personal liberty, you need a crisis. And crisis mm-hmm. can be real, imaginary, or fabricated. And mm-hmm. now we have fabricated crisis all mm-hmm. over the place. And mm-hmm. this is the personal liberties are going out of the window. And you're absolutely right that socialism, the government, is making people slaves. And mm-hmm. Because if you remember John Locke, the great British mm-hmm. philosopher of the 18th century, he was saying that who owns you? Who owns you? If you own yeah. yourself, then you are a free man. If somebody mm-hmm. else owns you, that you are a slave. And who owns you now? I mean, definitely in Russia or other places like that, then the government owns you. So it's a mm-hmm. public slavery. Public slavery, as bad as private slavery is, but it never resulted in so much mass murder, because it mm-hmm. doesn't make sense on the private slavery to kill your slaves. While the government slavery, that's the socialists of all kinds murdered over 200 million people just during last century.
Yeah. Yeah, the dictators of the last century were amazing. And that, I mean, it's worse than anything we've ever seen in history, I think. And I don't know that, you know, that people, but here's the thing about what I see now, Yuri, is that it's people don't realize that they are being enslaved. They think they're looking to the government as if the government can provide everything they need, and they are here to protect us. So the propaganda has to play a big role in it. We're not allowed to hear certain things, of course, now in America. A good portion of part of the political spectrum is no longer allowed to be aired. So to what extent did propaganda play a role? I've heard some people say, well, in the Soviet Union, you knew they were lying, but you knew you had to keep your mouth shut or you'd get the snot beat out of you. Whereas here, you know, it seems to be a very effective propaganda that's going on here. People are generally afraid, even when it's not necessary, it seems to me. That's my view.
True. In Soviet Union, it was easy. You just put a minus sign to everything they say. For example, if they say, well, this person was bad, or, for example, if Abraham Lincoln is so good, that would immediately raise the question, was he really? So you don't trust them. You know that they're lying. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor, and all the Jewish lady, Sarah, and every morning she would wave a newspaper at my face and would say, Yuri, they're lying even about weather. Mm-hmm. And true, they were, and the people were very cynical about that. And they knew mm-hmm. that they're lying about everything. Mm-hmm. In the United States, I think most Americans have not yet developed this healthy cynicism. And mm-hmm. some of them, yeah, they believe the CNN or NPR or PBS or other BS. Mm-hmm. And that's what yeah. people, that's, and this is very sad, because then at this point you can fool people, and mm-hmm. we are being fooled. I mean, look at what the kind of government we have right now.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, at some point, I mean, as a young man, you probably drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, of the Soviet Union. And as you were going through the Moscow State University, your educational, you're getting your PhD. At what point did you start to doubt the legitimacy of the system? And how in the world did you have the courage to defect? Because I suppose if you were caught, it wouldn't have been a good situation for you.
Correct, right. Yeah. Well, one thing is that I never was under the Kool-Aid in the Soviet Union. because the Kool-Aid was such a poor quality that nobody could believe in that. And then also, what I want to say is that I was kind of, reject of the system, because my grandfather, he was the chief architect of Sochi. Maybe you remember the
Olympic. Yeah.
And he was the chief architect of Sochi. He built several beautiful houses there, buildings there. And he was shot in 1938 as a Japanese spy during this purges, Stalin's purges. And my grandma, she saved my dad, who was 10 years only old at that time. And they kind of laid low. And the only good thing about Soviet Union of that time was that they didn't have computers, so they couldn't figure out who is where.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was under the radar. And so my father, he lived his life. He became a famous biophysicist. But definitely, because his life was kind of screwed up as well, because he lost his beloved father and everything, then I knew from day one that where we live and what we have. I mean, I wasn't a very unhappy child. I was a pretty happy child. But from another hand, I was a very skeptical child, and I never believed in what they were telling us. Mm-hmm. And so that was not any kind of conversion for me. Mm-hmm. It was just revealing. It was coming out of the closet. And when I was a sophomore in Moscow State University, a friend of mine gave me a Road to Serfdom by Hayek. Just for one night. And so this is and it really puts things together, because it was kind of like developing a film. I mean, the images were already there, but Hayek's logic made them very clear. And so in the morning, I was already not just spontaneous anti-communist, but very devoted one. And so that's the, I had this episode with Glenn Beck. I mean, you remember this TV personality.
Sure. Yep.
And I discussed it with Tom Woods on his show. And what I am very proud about that show, that next morning there were like 300,000 copies were ordered of that book in the United States. So almost the same amount as were published before. So I paid my debt to Hayek. Definitely for my I wouldn't say conversion, but for opening my eyes. Yeah, so that's Austrian economics is the first school of economics, first and last school of economics, which exposed the complete imbecility of socialism. Mm-hmm. That socialism is not an economic system. Ludwig von Mises used to say about the so-called systems analysis, comparative economic systems, people are still teaching this stuff in American university, comparative, like there is a market economic system and there's a centrally planned economic system, and they kind of can be used interchangeably. And von Mises, he used to say that the difference between the glass of milk and the glass of solution of potassium saline is not a difference in beverages. It's the difference between life and death. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is, that socialism is death. It's the end of civilization. And that's what many people don't realize. And they're going after it again and again. And we have a proud so-called democratic socialist like Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's very depressing for me to see this mass, I would say, kind of mass madness of the crowd,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
capitalism has made people rich, has made countries rich. Socialism, mm-hmm. at best, redistributes the wealth, and if there's no incentive for creating new wealth, certainly the price mechanism, and we're seeing it here now with interest rates suppressed, it's really doing terrible things to our productivity as well, and I know you would understand that. I just want to ask, with just about 4 minutes left here, less than that actually, Yuri, what are you teaching your students now in Carthage College there? And are they receptive? Are you able to teach free market ideas like Hayek and von Mises and these people? Are you able
True. Yes. I came to Carthage over 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I came to Carthage. I thought I will teach for maybe one or two semesters and then I'll find a real job. And mm-hmm. And I'm still there because I really value the atmosphere of freedom there. I can teach our students whatever I like to teach, and I'm teaching them sound economics. Mm-hmm. Sound economics, not only Austrian school, but I'm giving them a wide perspective, because if you'll teach them only Austrian school, you'll handicap them. But mm-hmm. they must know, they must have a choice, because freedom is choice. So I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing, yes.
Yeah, that's really wonderful to hear that you have that freedom to teach them. I believe that Austrian economics is just natural. I mean, it really explains how people act with freedom. If people are free and they're acting in their own best interest, and that has at least if they're not trying to buy off politicians to get special favors and laws passed. I mean, when that begins, then the system starts to break down. But at least people are free to develop their own God-given skills and talents in this kind of system, so it can really blossom out into something that's wonderful and provide for more and more people. It is a system that has proven to be a wealth-creating economic system like no others, and it's the most natural thing. So I would think that if people could just have the opportunity to hear about free market economics, they would start to grasp it very easily. Unfortunately, in most schools, they're never taught. They don't teach capitalism. I mean, we're a capitalist system, but they don't have any classes anywhere that I know of, in the public schools anyway, that teach the virtues of capitalism. It's all the evils of capitalism is all they hear about.
True. And that's why I really am an ardent supporter of the von Mises Institute.
Uh-huh.
Because von Mises Institute is providing us with intellectual ammunition for our classes.
Yeah.
Then
exactly.
People like Ron Paul, he unfortunately he is getting old, whatever, but when he was very active, we had a lot of students following him. A lot mm-hmm. of students following him, and a lot of students and he opened the gateway for Austrian economics for the whole the ideas of freedom in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you are absolutely right that in many universities, in many colleges, this is not the case. They have the woke ideology. They are against the freedom of speech. They are shutting down everything, all dissenting views. Yes, I agree. That's very, very sad.
Yeah. Well, Ron Paul once said, if we're free, we will be prosperous, as I think he said in a presidential debate. And you most certainly would understand that as well as anybody. Yara, we're going to have to leave it go at that. There are so many more things I wanted to ask you about. We'll have to do it again sometime, perhaps, if you're available. I know that you've written a couple of books, Requiem for Marx. You've co-authored The Tea Party and The American Counter-Revolution and The Tea Party Explained. We could talk about some of those things, perhaps, or more about your background as well. Thank you so much for being with us, Yari. We do have to go now, but we'll look to do it again sometime soon.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, well, we do have to go now, but next week we'll have David Stockman with us as well as Michael Oliver. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Firefox Gold is exploring in Finland in the midst of an exciting new gold rush. Firefox successfully drilled high-grade and visible gold in 2021 and is now active at four prospective projects with plans to drill continuously through the first half of 2022. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, are driving the company to discovery, and the stage is set for Firefox to identify multiple new gold deposits. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX and on the OTCQB at FFOXF. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.